Everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Did you catch what happened in New York at Hofstra University? Yes, indeed, the second debate between Barack Obama and the man who wants to be president, Mitt Romney. What say you? Simple up or down vote. Who won this? Was it round two for Romney? Did he win this one, or was it a better Barack Obama this time around? Certainly it was more his format. The town hall style is right up his alley. We are going to talk to Jeff Holtzman in our next segment here on ATN. He was at Hofstra University, and get his impressions about the crowd and how it went down, and also the questions and some of what was discussed. Energy was a big piece of the discussion. Libya and what happened in Benghazi was a big part of the discussion. Jobs, 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 and the economy turned out to be probably the majority of the discussion. And, of course, regular people, and that's the idea in a town hall, get a chance to ask the questions. And, boy, some of those questions were good. I like this format in a presidential debate because even though the moderator gets to know the questions ahead of time and they pick them out, they're all submitted and they pick the questions out, you really get the sense that they're not hijacking the questions. And these are just plain-speaking people that are asking the way they see it, what happened or what they want an answer to. And I like it because it's not any of that Washington spin. You kind of cut through that. There was some interrupting, certainly not the amount that Joe Biden interrupted Paul Ryan when the two clashed in the VP debate, but there was definitely back and forth, both of them kind of jostling for position without a doubt. So the key thing is, who do you think won the debate? Is it curtains for Barack Obama, or does he breathe new life into this effort? As you know, many of the strategists that we've had on in the past week or two have said this is it, really, for Barack Obama. If he bombs the way he did in the first one, he has no chance. 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. Not surprisingly, immigration came up as well. Romney was attacked by Obama on not saying thumbs up on the DREAM Act, and there's a little bit of give and take there. Here's a snippet of the immigration question.
We're going to have to stop illegal immigration. There are 4 million people who are waiting in line to get here legally. Those who've come here illegally take their place. So I will not grant amnesty to those who've come here illegally. What I will do is I'll put in place an employment verification system and make sure that employers that hire people who have come here illegally are sanctioned for doing so. I won't put in place magnets for people coming here illegally. So, for instance, I would not give driver's licenses to those that have come here illegally, as the president would. The kids of those that came here illegally, those kids, I think, should have a pathway to become a permanent resident of the United States. And military service, for instance, is one way they would have that kind of pathway to become a permanent resident. Now, when the president ran for office, he said that he'd put in place in his first year a piece of legislation. He'd file a bill in his first year that would reform our immigration system, protect legal immigration, stop illegal immigration. He didn't do it. He had a Democrat House and Democrat Senate, supermajority in both houses. Why did he fail to even promote legislation that would have provided an answer for those that want to come here legally and for those that are here illegally today? That's a question I think the president will have a chance to answer right now.
Good. I look forward to it. Was Lorena? Lorraine. We are a nation of immigrants. I mean, we're just a few miles away from Ellis Island. We all understand what this country has become because talent from all around the world wants to come here. People who are willing to take risks. People who want to build on their dreams and make sure their kids have even bigger dreams than they have. But we're also a nation of laws. So what I've said is we need to fix a broken immigration system. And I've done everything that I can on my own and sought cooperation from Congress to make sure that we fix this system. First thing we did, was to streamline the legal immigration system, to reduce the backlog, make it easier, simpler, and cheaper for people who are waiting in line, obeying the law, to make sure that they can come here and contribute to our country. And that's good for our economic growth.
All right, so we're starting to get responses, and many of you have sent in things earlier. We'll make sure that we go to the mailbag. Actually, a couple of times this show, you can send your thoughts to americatonight.net. Many of you already have done that. Just click on contact. So here's a couple of the things that we're getting through the miracle of chat, asking the straight-up question, Romney or Obama, did Obama end all chances in this debate? I'd have to say no. He staved off elimination. But did he win this round? Did he win round two? You heard that little piece of the immigration question. And Ivan says Romney believes in the pathway. That's what the DREAM Act was all about. Romney now trying to flip-flop to get the Latino vote. Obama, yeah, right, for 4 years you've been trying. So you see, it's interesting in dissecting it, what real Americans or others think in listening to the debate and breaking down afterwards some of the stuff that was said. So I wouldn't say Obama won the debate, but I think he was much better than the last time around. And I guess the reason why is because he seemed more assertive. He argued with Romney a lot more. He came out more negative, too, this time around. There's some interesting quotes. And, of course, the new buzzword is fact-checking. I was doing some fact-checking along the way as I was watching this town hall-style debate. And this one certainly had some faux pas when it came to the real facts and what was exaggerated, let's say. And I wondered if the moderator was trying to do some fact-checking along the way. All right, one of the big areas that I was interested in was what was going to happen with Libya, and we're going to talk about that question later this hour. In fact, after we talk with Jeff Holtzman, and I fact-checked a lot of what Obama had to say about standing in the Rose Garden, and when he actually made the comment about it being a terrorist act. Was it 14 days? Did it take that long? That's what Romney said. And when was it that the White House actually released the words that Benghazi, what happened in Benghazi was an act of terrorism? Was it a day after the attack, or was it 14 days later? You're going to have to wait for an answer on that one. I'm going to tell you the answer to it. Some of you might already know it, but this seems to be one of the big punching back areas for Obama, and one of the key things that Romney's hitting when they talk about Libya. Certainly, the amount of discussion about what was happening with foreign policy was really minuscule compared to everything else that came up. As I said, the focus still economy, jobs, all that kind of stuff. And we'll dive deeper into it, plus your thoughts at 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. But first, a conversation with Jeff Holtzman, who was at Hofstra University for this town hall debate. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to americatonightteam.com. That's americatonightteam.com.
Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources, October 16th, 2012. Gold opened this morning at $1743.60. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $1786.63, $893.32 for a half ounce, or $446.66 for a quarter ounce. That's $1786.63, $893.32, and $446.66.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? Wait a sec. Gold and silver is going up while Congress is trying to settle on the next debt increase. And there's no end to this madness. That old 401k and IRA can be converted into physical gold without tax consequences. I explained this in my book, 10 Reasons to Buy Gold. Don't let time slip away. Call for your free copy today, 800-686-2237. Get away from that Washington spin and get honest answers about gold. 800-686-2237. The book is free, 800-686-2237.
I have bought a few bottles of Heart and Body Extract and have to say that it certainly does work.
That's what Jack from Michigan had to say after his experience with heart pain and what he did to treat it with Heart and Body Extract.
I actually had a huge heart flutter. I was also having some edema around my ankles and very worrisome clot in my right leg that would happen from time to time while I was trying to sleep.
Heart and Body Extract is all natural with no negative side effects. It will help repair or correct past problems associated with the heart and body circulation.
After my second bottle of Heart and Body Extract, all problems are now gone.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
I ordered a third bottle of Heart and Body Extract for maintenance, as I want to keep everything working.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
Tonight, each and every show, we teed up with the true insiders from Talk Radio News. On the road again, Jeff Holtzman, covering the debate. He's at Hofstra University. Jeff, first of all, the town hall format. Do you think that made a big difference in this debate? Because I thought it felt a little different right from the get-go.
Oh, I thought it made a huge difference, and I can't no doubt about it. And we anticipated that it would make a difference. The dynamic of the debate, just the tone, we knew it was going to be a lot different. The candidates were going to have to talk to the audience, not just the debate moderator. And we had a feeling coming in that President Obama was going to have an advantage because he's done a lot of town hall events in the last 3.5 years he's been in office. I think he's done over 50, as a matter of fact. So he's had a lot of, familiarity with this sort of format. Mitt Romney, you know, he's been on the campaign trail, but it's sort of different. He's not taking that many questions. And I thought that if you go back and look at the tape of tonight's debate, I think that President Obama was able to do a pretty good job utilizing, his experience with the town hall format, not only, because he's had that experience that I just talked about, but because he was more aggressive and more assertive and more focused tonight. I mean, that's the bottom line. It was a completely different Obama than the one we saw in Denver a couple weeks ago that was just sort of listless. Obama seemed to understand at this debate that there's really something at stake here, that if he had another poor performance, he was going to be in a huge hole that he might not have been able to recover from. And it looks like, his determination to not have a repeat of round one sort of paid off. A lot of folks here that I'm surrounded by in the media filing center sort of seem to have come around to consensus opinion that Barack Obama had the better today. And I think that not only was it a byproduct of more focus, more passion, more seriousness, but I think also he was able to benefit from the town hall format because you're taking questions from audience members.
Mm-hmm.
And these are questions that are screened by, the debate moderator, Katie Crowley, but at the same time, they're not the same questions that, members of the White House press corps, per se, would be asking the president in a more, intimate setting. And, of course, the president also had a number of canned responses that he unleashed tonight, a number of attack lines, dingers, if you will, that he unleashed against Mitt Romney that he sort of withheld in his first go-around. And that sort of helped him tonight, too. So a number of reasons helped him out tonight, but I think he did have the better night.
Yeah, I would say he took a really sharp turn in a negative way. He must have said probably 10 times what Governor Romney said just isn't true. I think I heard that at least 10 times. And you're right. He really went on the attack on this one. In fact, one of the big things I thought was when they were talking about employment, Obama said, look, Governor Romney doesn't have a 5-point plan. He has a 1-point plan, as you call it, the zingers. And I think the jobs and the economy, I thought a lot of this was going to really lean toward foreign policy, but it was pretty much wide open. And across the board, it was little of everything. A lot of jobs, a lot of the economy, and then, of course, the Libya situation. Who do you think won the argument on the taxes?
On taxes, I thought that was where Mitt Romney really played well.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Romney had a good line about cutting corporate tax rates. And that was a moment where he was able to look at the audience and at all of them and sort of explain, the fundamentals of tax reform. I think that if he stumbled at all, it might have been on still not offering 100% in terms of specifics on his plan, on his tax reform plan to not only reduce rates, but to cover the cost of that by, slicing deductions and loopholes and raising revenue elsewhere so that the plan balances. He's still got a little work to do on that, and there's still a lot of criticism, mostly from the left, against him over that. A lot of folks are saying, well, it just doesn't add up. Now, the Romney campaign, as soon as they got into that discussion about tax reform, they immediately blasted out a rapid response, memo, with quotes from a number of, economists, professors, what have you, saying that the tax plan does add up, that it does balance, but there's still a little gray area to it. It's still something that we're going to be debating for a while, because, Romney hasn't put this one to bed, per se. I think that Romney was at his strongest, really, when he was talking about, the debt. And that's something that he's been hammering President Obama on for quite some time. And toward the end of the debate, if you watched that far, if you watched the whole thing, you would have seen that one of the last responses was to go after President Obama on the debt and explain to the audience that this is something that needs to be taken seriously and that the president doesn't have a record to run on it. Otherwise, I thought that President Obama did a pretty good job, hammering home his message of fairness in terms of the tax code, fairness in terms of federal spending, and what have you. I mean, I think he did a pretty decent job tonight. Certainly a much better job of selling his economic vision than he did in round one.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. The other big thing was energy. Energy was talked about at one point. Obama said, hey, when you were governor, you stood in front of a coal plant that you closed because you said it wasn't clean. But Romney said that he was for coal. He was for gas. And, of course, he was for the alternatives, too. And they took a lot of time and went round and round about energy, don't you think?
Well, absolutely. Energy was a big part of tonight's debate. And I think that, when you have a state like Ohio that certainly looks like it's up for grabs right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is an issue that is near and dear to a lot of people who live in that state. It's a huge coal producing state. So that's why it was important for Mitt Romney to, sort of hammer President Obama on his record and especially his comments back in 2008 when he talked about making it more difficult for coal plant operators. But Obama had a good line tonight. He basically dinged Romney on coal and said that, Romney once said that coal is bad.
Yeah.
I'm paraphrasing here, but it was a good comeback for President Obama because you thought, I at least a lot, myself and a lot of other observers thought that when it comes to energy, it was going to be difficult for President Obama. We thought that Mitt Romney was really going to go hard after him on Solyndra and all the, all the federal money that's been given in the form of subsidies to these green energy companies. And Romney didn't really do that. I don't even know if he really brought up Solyndra tonight. Instead, he sort of let Obama get the better of him by saying that, he's producing more oil on federal lands. And Obama had a good line. He went after the energy oil companies and said, look, if you don't use it, you lose it, meaning that if they're sitting on all this, on leases for land that they could be drilling on and they don't use it, then Obama said his administration is going to take that away. And you can debate the merits of that policy, but it was a good line that certainly resonated with the audience tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I think Romney really missed an opportunity to go after Obama more on the green energy stuff.
Yeah, I agree with you. They talked about the Keystone Pipeline, and Obama talked about Romney in responding to Romney's support for the Keystone Pipeline, saying that the nation has built enough pipeline to wrap around the earth, but they need to work on the other side of the equation to develop renewable sources. And then Romney said, well, I'm for, you know, doing renewable sources and looking at all those things, too. So you're right. Absolutely, Jeff. He didn't really come out swinging and nailing him on money that had been given and just fell by the wayside. Cylindra. Yeah. The great example, the panels that never went anywhere and ended up with that guaranteed loan. Overall, since you were there at Hofstra, what was the mood of the people that were at this town hall? What could you gauge by their questions and stuff? What do you think? Who do you think they were for? Obama or Romney, or maybe kind of split, or you don't know?
Well, I think that, to be honest with you, I think a majority of those who asked questions, the majority of the audience members, we're leaning toward Romney. I really do. I mean, I look at the first question right out the gate was from a 20-year-old college student, and he might be leaning toward President Obama just because, you know, he's in that age demo that you know, is going to go more for Obama than Romney this year. But beyond that, I mean, you look at the salesman, you know, who asked, I believe he asked Romney, you know, about, well, he asked the president about the Libya situation. He seemed skeptical. You look at the African-American gentleman, whose name is escaping me, but who essentially told Obama, you know, I was with you in 2008, but, you know, the shine is wearing off right now. I mean, I just got the sense that from these folks that a majority of them, maybe not a large majority, but a majority of them were a little skeptical of President Obama and were open to an alternative this year. That's just me. Now, on the other hand, I think the debate moderator, Candy Crowley, I think it's pretty clear who she's voting for this year.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Candy Crowley had a really interesting performance tonight. She cut off Mitt Romney two times, key times, when he was trying to hit back at President Obama for things that he'd said in previous responses. And
right.
Then, obviously, on the Libya thing, which could be the defining moment of this debate, where Mitt Romney accused President Obama of not calling it an act of terror. President Obama, of course, according to the White House transcript, did say it was an act of terror in his September 12th remarks in the White House Rose Garden. And Candy Crowley pointed that out to Mitt Romney as if she was a fact checker. That was very, very interesting. Drew a lot of response from observers here in the press file room, and it's something I'm sure we're going to be talking about for days.
Yeah, absolutely. The Libya role, very, very strange, and especially with the news that's coming out, now the State Department not ruling out the video's role in the Libya strike. That's the latest thing that they were saying even earlier today, and of course that's heavy on the minds, Jeff, as you know, of many, many, many people. Are you going to the next debate?
Absolutely. Benny and Martinez and myself will be in Florida, and we'll have another report for you there.
Is it just a wild, crazy road trip with the two of you along the way? Are you stopping at every burger joint and having fun a little bit in between?
We're not eating well, that's for sure. And we're with Ellen Bradner out here, and so you know any car trip with Ellen, even one as short as New York City to Long Island, is going to be full of adventure. So.
Yeah. All right, say hi to Ellen and Benny for us, and Jeff, great job. Thanks so much for checking in with us.
Sorry, Kay, thanks.
Here it comes, another cold and flu season. Get ready for it and save now during the pre-winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Don't be without powerful natural flu fighters like elderberry power capsules. They support the immune system and they have antiviral properties. Another powerful antiviral is olive leaf capsules, highly recommended by Herbal Healer Academy. Also on sale is Physician Strength Oregacillin, a savior for the lungs. It fights bacteria, virus, and fungus. Our famous four herb capsules are a gentle liver cleanser and can be taken daily. Also featured this winter are the homeopathic detoxes, liver, kidney, lung, lymph, whole body, and brain detox on sale. And remember, as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and hit the pre-winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
25 years is reason to celebrate. Cash in on October deals during the 25th anniversary of Emergency Essentials. Going on now, save 26% off clarified butter, 24% off honey oat granola, and save 50% off a kitchen fire extinguisher. A must for any kitchen emergency. Stock your car with a Roadwise Emergency 72-hour kit, only $34.99 at BePrepared.com. New this month, two varieties of Mountain House just-in-case buckets. Your favorite Mountain House pouches packed in a convenient bucket. Find a super deal this month only for the Goal Zero Lighthouse LED Lantern and Nomad 7 Solar Panel. Iosat Potassium Iodide tablets are on sale. And as always, check out the Emergency Essentials Group Specials now through October 31st. Call 800-999-1863 for exceptional customer service and Emergency Essentials low price guarantee. That's 800-999-1863. The choice is clear. Be unprepared or beprepared.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Did you know that gold and silver contain healing properties? It's true. Since the beginning of mankind's history, gold and silver have not only been used as real money, but also for healing our minds and bodies. Utopiasilver.com is your leading source for colloidal silver and colloidal gold, offering supplement protocols that can heal and enhance your health. Protocols for boosting the immune system, insomnia, yeast infections, herpes, and countering the effects of vaccinations and radiation poisoning. And now UtopiaSilver.com encourages the use of real money with this buy one, get one free real money special. For details on your colloidal silver and colloidal gold supplements, call 888-213-4338 and ask about 50% off for first-time customers. That's 888-213-4338 or visit UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com, fighting for liberty and healing one American at a time.
Lines from the debate at Hofstra University. We're going to talk about it in our next segment here on ATN, and you can weigh in 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. But each and every week, we talk to the best storyteller I know, I think, when it comes to almost anything, but certainly when it comes to Hollywood stories, and that's the name of his book, Hollywood Stories, Short Entertaining Anecdotes About the Stars and Legends of the Movies. That's his book. Stephen Shohat in the wings now. Hey, Stephen, I bet you were watching the debate.
Yeah, I did, as a matter of fact. And, you know, I think Romney's definitely better on energy if you're a conservative. But there are a lot of agreements where I disagree with both men. There are a lot of times where they disagree because where they do agree on things that I personally do not believe are conservative. And so I don't really feel all the time that conservatives have a big voice in this election.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think conservatives really don't have a big voice. I think that was part of the move, at least from a Tea Party point of view, from the Ryan people, was to get Ryan on that ticket to try to help. But it's still really, that's still not really the same thing. There are a lot of conservative issues that are just getting, I think, talked around, I guess.
I know. Yeah, not when you consider that Paul Ryan voted for TARP.
Yeah, exactly.
Debt ceiling raise. And to be honest with you, the lame duck tax bill, which is a good thing let me say I'm very conservative. Bachman was my candidate, so
mm-hmm.
I mean it's a good thing that Romney seems to want to get rid of that, at least the death tax, from my point of view. Overall, he agrees with Obama too much for my comfort. That's the bottom line for me.
Yeah, I think a lot of people feel that way. It's interesting. 7-Eleven is doing this thing where they have a red cup and a blue cup, and I think pretty much it's split down the middle, and people are asking for other cups. Hey, we talk Hollywood.
I think the other cup.
Yeah, exactly. Give me the other cup. Pull it out.
The no writing cup.
Yeah, I don't want anyone. Just give me that other cup, definitely.
Right.
Hey, I love the idea. You sent me a note about this, about talking about Epcot, and I didn't realize this, that Epcot is 30 years old. Is that right?
30 years since it opened, and longer than that in the concept, since 1966. And even a little bit before that, it was, Walt Disney couldn't say why he came up with the idea, except for the fact that he was concerned about the future for his grandchildren. I think I told this story before, but it's such a cute story about Walt Disney. He had two daughters. Their names were Diane and Sharon, and he was so nervous about them being kidnapped that in the 1930s he was bribing the Hollywood Gossip columnist to report that he was one of the most eligible bachelors in the city, and he didn't have any pictures of Mickey Mouse around the house and rarely went to Hollywood parties, so he sort of kept them from the limelight too. And there was one time his little six-year-old daughter, Diane, was in school, and this other little girl came up to her and said, "Diane, you never told me your daddy was the creator of Mickey Mouse." And Diane went home and said, "Daddy, you never told me you were that Walt Disney," and asked for an autograph.
I love that story.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
But anyway, he did have seven grandchildren, and he got concerned. And he was also concerned about cars. He had a car. He loved his car, a Mercedes, but he thought that too many cars were ruining Los Angeles, which was a much smoggier place in the 60s, ironically, than it is now. So he was always denying that he wanted to build a second Disneyland, because Disneyland to him was the perfect project because it was never finished. But then he ran out of land at Disneyland. He had 200 acres, and he was really bothered by Anaheim, which was originally just rows of orange groves, and it turned into what Walt referred to as a cheap Las Vegas with all the motels.
Right.
So all these things started coming into his mind, and what would be bigger than building an amusement park? Well, building a city, and that led to his concept, which didn't really come to full fruition, the experimental prototype community of tomorrow.
Yeah, so that was the idea, was to make it just like a full-blown futuristic place?
A city where people live, not the World's Fair-like amusement park that they have. I mean, people can watch on YouTube. It's the final film Walt Disney made was laying out some of his ideas, which would be, first of all, like in Disneyland, you want to keep this illusion going on, so you have the trucks coming into tunnels and making the deliveries so nobody can see them. One time at Disneyland, Walt got infuriated when one of his publicity people parked a car in the middle of Frontierland because he felt it ruined the whole illusion. So if people had cars, they'd have to park them underground in this city, and there'd be a dome over the city to control temperature, and there'd be underground trash removal, and there'd be cultural streets that were based on cultures from other countries. Now they did keep that, actually, with the different pavilions that they have at Epcot, but the biggest thing is the actual people who would live there, and he figured around 20,000 people would live there. 20,000 people to be, quite frankly, experimented with. Of course, they have to be willing to do it. It's still a free market choice. But they would travel around in the people mover or the monorail. They could have cars, but they couldn't keep them. They couldn't drive them within the city. They'd have to drive them outside. If they want to go on vacation, they wouldn't be allowed to own property. Walt would own all the property. They wouldn't be allowed to retire. Everybody would have to be productive. And he said, "I don't have all the answers. That's why it's experimental. That's why we'll keep fixing things up. That's why we'll invite companies with the greatest technology to come in here. Technologies that haven't even been invented yet," because he didn't believe that certain urban areas that had declined could be improved, he thought we should start all over again. Now, the question is, how do you make money off of this? Because he wasn't alone anymore. It's a public company with a board of directors. And that was the real issue. And that's what really led to the Disney World amusement park, because he really wasn't excited ever throughout his whole career about repeating himself. But you know, his brother Roy convinced him that if you want money to flow into the area, we've got to have that second amusement park. And so he went along with that. But his entire enthusiasm was for Epcot. Unfortunately, at the same time, he became very sick and wasn't able to get it accomplished.
So then what happens to Epcot? Because people still flock to Epcot, as we were just talking about, the anniversary. What does it morph into exactly?
Well, it morphed into a second amusement park right by the recreation of Disneyland, and of course they have rides there, the space ride, and they have the showcase shopping dining areas, you know, the pavilions that represent Norway and Morocco and China and I think 14 countries in total, and constantly a display of new technology, but not a city that improves that would be a prototype for future cities. I mean, that's the one thing. Now, what they did do was build the City of Celebration, which was a modified thing, because the thing was, the board of directors, they were just never convinced about Epcot. I mean, that's what Walt was getting ready to do when he died, was try and convince them to go along with this project, to convince the stockholders to go along with this project. One of the big problems that Walt had was that if he would talk to a company like General Electric and talk about a merger with them to possibly finance this thing, he'd start thinking, well, wait a minute, they're going to have too much input on what we want to do, and he didn't like that. When he had Disneyland, his partner originally was ABC, the television network, and ABC, they could never understand how come all these millions of people are coming to Disneyland and we don't see a profit. Well, the reason they didn't was Walt was constantly reinvesting in Disneyland, you know, adding a few minutes on a ride, putting fancy furniture in a medium-priced restaurant, lavishing more money on a parade, you know, whatever it took for Disneyland to be ahead of the curve. And finally, he ended up buying out ABC. And with the Walt Disney World, the Florida project, he just couldn't find a partner that suited him. But again, you know, he died so quickly after this plan was happening, and the Disney company, his brother Roy was left in charge, but they were kind of shocked into paralysis after Walt died, even though, you know, people really knew that it was likely because he had a big spot on his lungs. They just weren't prepared for it. I mean, there was nobody like him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Wow. Interesting stuff. 30 years. Stephen Shohat, you always make it interesting. We look forward to these conversations, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Oh, sure. And people can always visit HollywoodStories.com if they'd like some more stories. Thank you.
Yeah. Go there. Thanks, Stephen. We'll talk to you next week. Epcot. I'm thinking the first time I went to Epcot, I was a kid, and it... I just remember the whole idea, that tomorrow theme that he was, or the futuristic theme that Stephen was talking about. And I was supposed to go to Epcot in March, but I may end up going there in December. So I'll be able to check it out now, both as an adult and as a child, and see what the differences are. All right, what do you think happened in the debate? 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283.
Prices are for base buildings only and may not be available in some areas.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building next year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. Call General Steel now for the quality and the price in a pre-engineered steel building that you just can't beat. That's right. General Steel can save you thousands of dollars with a pre-engineered steel building designed for your business or church. What does this mean? How about a 50 by 100 foot building for under $30,000? Don't pay thousands more than you should without calling General Steel first. Call 866-99-STEEL today and save as much as half the cost and time of conventional construction. Don't let rising steel prices put your project in jeopardy. Call now to lock in your price for 3 months. Call 866-99-STEEL. That's 866-997-8335. Don't spend thousands of dollars more than you should. Call 866-99-STEEL today.
My name is Gary Johnson. I approve this message. Of the many people running for president in 2012, only three will be on the ballot in all 50 states come November. For those of you worried I'll take votes away from the Democrat, and to those of you afraid I'll take votes away from the Republican, I say good. They deserve to lose your vote. Take as many votes as possible away from the people in both parties, keeping us in a state of perpetual war, increasing unsustainable debt, record joblessness, and a bipartisan economic death wish, ruining America for 330 million of us. Be libertarian with me for one election. If after 4 years you decide honest, effective government doesn't work for you, you can always vote failure back into office again. Live free.
Paid for by GaryJohnson2012.com.
Hi, my name is Annette, and due to menopause symptoms for nearly 2 years, I suffered severe hot flashes, which prevented me from sleeping all night. It was so hard to work because I continued all day to have the hot flashes from hell. I was exhausted and depleted. After only 3 weeks on One World Way, I have no hot flashes, and I'm sleeping normally again. I feel energized and strong. This is an amazing product.
It is a little-known fact that every single cell of your body is supposed to produce 10% of its protein content as glutathione, but due to toxicity and aging, it does not. Could glutathione be a missing factor in optimal cell function for your entire body? If you restore the optimal glutathione levels in your cells, especially your glands and organs, then as a result, your glands and organs work better. Imagine the quality of life improvement you might have. To order One World Way, call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
I must have dreamed a thousand dreams.
Definitely tense between Barack Obama and Mitt Romney. Both were on the attack, both were interrupting, both were defensive. Interesting. Mitt Romney, I thought, did pretty good, like he did the last time. He nailed Obama on a couple of things on failed policies, because after all, Obama has the record. He's the incumbent, so it's easy to go after him for the things that he didn't do and things that he promised to do, and especially with the deficit. He nailed him on the deficit a couple of times, and there isn't much you can say about that. And he was quick to be able to say when Obama pointed out that, well, you know, this is Bush, here's what happened with Bush, and Romney was easily went back and was able to cover that track and make it make sense to say, you know, that, yeah, here's where things stood, and you added another $4 trillion on top of that, $5 trillion on top of that. So does this debate really move the needle, as they say, in either direction? It's still a tight race. Romney is probably in a much stronger position than I think a lot of people would have thought he would have been in a month ago. 6 months ago, no way. The real money would have said, oh, Obama gets this again. So Romney did well at the second debate. You know, I'm seeing these things where CNN Orks poll says President Obama beat Mitt Romney in their second presidential debate. According to who? I mean, I think it was back and forth. It really was. You know, I use that analogy heading into debate season of the boxing match. This really was like that. Obama showed up this time around. That's what the difference was. So the bar was pretty low for him in a way. Does this change anything about this race? Maybe the Democrats feel a little more energized because this was much better after the first debate. So there could be more enthusiasm. I mean, that's going to be the difference, I guess, November 6th with the so-called undecideds. Because I think most people know who they're voting for, although today I had a conversation with a friend, somebody I've known for 15, 16 years, and we always shoot the bull. And this is a guy who votes mostly Democratic, but has voted for some Republicans, not on the presidential side. And he told me that he was voting for Mitt Romney because he's a small business owner, because of the tax situations, and he doesn't believe what Obama's saying, that he bought it the first time around, but he doesn't buy it the second time around. So what say you, America? Kate Delaney, as we round the final corner here for this hour of America Tonight, 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. And a lot of people, I've mentioned this, have sent emails, and I'm going to definitely jump to some of those since it was an avalanche, an outpouring of stuff. Got one from Jim, who listens to us in Austin, and Jim says, I would have to believe that Obama came out a lot stronger this time around. However, I think Romney absolutely stood his ground and made some good points, landed a few punches. Honestly, it's a draw, Kate. It's a draw. Let's be serious about that. About this. It has to be. Well, it doesn't have to be, but I think it was kind of a draw. That's why it's interesting that you can go to certain websites and they'll say it's a win for Obama, and then you can go to others and they'll say it's a win for Romney. So clearly this is much different than the first time around. Romney was stronger on jobs, on energy, on Libya, on the economy. I thought he was stronger. Obama really defended probably his track record as much as he could. He didn't flinch and was able to come back with things as far as his track record it was concerned and what he did in 4 years. So will there be a big impact on the polls like we saw the last time around? I don't know. Romney didn't get KO'd by any stretch of the imagination, so he moves on. He's fighting another day as we get down to a handful of weeks left before November 6th. I mean, here we are. I mean, I have to look at a calendar because I think I'm so shocked myself. Here we are with, 3 weeks and counting. The 3 weeks. We're looking at 3 weeks. It's unbelievable, isn't it, that we're that close to the election. I still feel like we're back in the summer and we're talking about going to the conventions, but absolutely. The main thrust, the difference, I think, of this debate was the fact that it was a town hall focus, you know, the focus on the town hall, that this debate was different than that much more uptight podium kind of deal that you have. And there you have, there in the town hall setting, people are asking the questions. As I said at the top of the show, real people, you could hear them with their New York accents, working class people, a lot of them middle class people probably, had lots of things that they were asking, from Libya to jobs to taxes and what would happen to some of the credits that they already get and that kind of stuff. I thought it's always pretty interesting to have people get involved in that. So for what it's worth, I'm going to throw this out. Debate watchers, because they always do these polls at the networks, were kind of divided on who won. And that's what I said. I think it's really a draw. Obama or Romney. The CNN poll that I referred to showed that 46% of the debate watchers said Obama won the debate. 39% say Romney fared better, for what it's worth. 73% said Obama did better than expected. He's the president. Compared to 37% who said the same about Romney. The thing, I guess, that's making people say that Obama won this is because he was so terrible, and you can't deny it. Even he doesn't deny it. The first time around, it was like he wasn't there. Somebody else was walking around in his body. So the results are definitely a big contrast from the first presidential debate. 67% of the debate watchers said Romney was better. 25% said Obama won the debate because he was so all over the map, so not present in the first one, that the second one had to be better for him. Now, if he had had that same kind of performance in the second one, oh boy, I think that would have been, he would have been toast then, honestly. I think it really is that close, even with electoral votes that we're talking about, that would have cost him everything if it had been that same kind of performance. If it was the same kind of performance, you know, absolutely. So, let me rifle through a couple of quick emails and keep the number handy because we're going to continue along the way if you flip over to another hour. 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283, and give you a chance to ring in and throw in your 2 cents. But we got this one from Bob in Vermont. He says, listening to you on WVMT, and I got to tell you that I watched the whole debate, actually, from end to end. I'm proud of myself because there were moments when I wanted to get up and I was sick of hearing the same old thing. I'm not really impressed with either of them, to be honest, Kate, but I would have to say that Obama looked a lot stronger this time around. However, clearly, I wouldn't call him the winner of the debate, but I wouldn't call Romney the winner. It was like a town hall meeting where two men were arguing over some very important stuff. Does that make sense? Yeah, the town hall format is so different from the podium deal where you have that seriousness, I guess, or there was tension in the air. It seemed like there was tension in the air, but it's a different kind of tense than the first time around, and especially the first time around because Obama he was laying in the weeds. So it was easy for Romney to pounce on him, and there wasn't a lot of comebacks from Obama. This time there was a lot of comebacks from Obama, and that made the difference. But I don't think Romney loses any of the wind in his sails. All right, one last one. This one from Rebecca. Thumbs up for Mitt Romney. Nobody's talking about Romney America tonight. But really, truly, I think he did a great job in this second debate. We'll see what happens in the next one. But he certainly didn't hurt himself. There you go. That sums it up. He certainly didn't hurt himself.
Is simple when you have the right stuff. And with the looming threat of economic collapse and possible service interruption, it's time to get the best-in-class preparedness stuff at DisasterStuff.com. DisasterStuff.com has been serving smart preppers for over 15 years with quality products like Berkey water filters. DisasterStuff.com is the official Berkey in-stock shipping center. And as always, free shipping on all Berkey products. Stock up on water barrels and accessories. Get Country Living or Wonder Mill grain mills, Excalibur food dehydrators, Tatler reusable canning lids, Sun Oven solar cookers, EMP bags to protect sensitive electronics, and don't be without your Life Straw personal water filter, all from DisasterStuff.com. Preparedness is simple with the right stuff from DisasterStuff.com. Freedom through self-reliance and personal responsibility.